AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt McNeil back. Thank you very much to Ellie and to Nance filling in on the shows. Hunter is back with us.
Yeah, I'm back.
Hey, good to be with you, my friend. Good to have you here. A lot to get to, including, ooh la la, tomorrow. Not today. Don't bother Hunter right now. Tomorrow and Friday, myself and Mr. McEntee are going to be giving away some tickets, general admission tickets to Blue State Ball, which comes up here on March 10th at the Blaisdell. So tomorrow, we got to talk about that a little bit coming up. Also, Jeffrey McGillicuddy-Stein joining us. We'll talk about the latest in national news, of course, obviously the gun debate. We'll get into that, as well as also you know, other issues, too, that we would probably need to address. I know I missed a lot. Wait a minute here. You Republicans are got to the point where they're attacking kids who are victims of violent gun attack. Wow. Really? 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 Yeah, I could talk about that. I could talk about the opening of the Minnesota legislative session, which, by the way, I do love the level of delusion, the conspiracy theory that some people have come up with that have put Michelle Fischbach, the Senate president, into the position where she's violating the Constitution now by holding on to her Senate seat and the lieutenant governor seat. The argument is that Governor Mark Dayton, realizing that was the law, apparently was the guy behind, the mastermind behind the Al Franken story leaks that basically about alleged sexual misconduct. That he basically did this. He got Al Franken. He apparently must have coordinated Roger Stone and all the Russian bots that pushed that story, too. That he then convinced Al Franken to resign just so he could appoint a nobody, his lieutenant governor, Tina Smith, to fill in his vacant Senate seat. Just so he could pull Michelle Fischbach out. Dude, do you understand the level of delusion that you have to think that this is, he set this all up? No, he didn't. And let's face it, if a Senate seat came up, of course Tina Smith was going to be the first name mentioned as lieutenant governor to fill in on any seat. Obviously. Now, Michelle Fischbach swore in the Senate and promptly basically was called out by Ron Latz. Nice job, Senator Latz, for the fact that you're not supposed to be here. You can't hold two positions. Did Governor Dayton get in his DeLorean and fly back to 1973 and fix that constitutional issue to where he set this up just so he could get her? Oh, that wacky Governor Dayton. No, I'm not going to start there. I'll save that for other shows. Instead, I'm going to start off with my trip. I went down to South Carolina. My dad is in his later parts of his life. He is down. He has moved from northern Minnesota just because he couldn't get out. And the snow, the ice was just too much. He couldn't get out into the northern Minnesota climate anymore. So he went south, and he's now living in Beaufort, South Carolina, which is absolutely gorgeous community. And I didn't think it was going to be this nice when we went down. It was 75 degrees, blue skies. Water was a little chilly. We still went swimming, though. Flowers are in bloom. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, as a matter of fact, we started getting allergies because of the pollen there. But I had a wonderful time, great food. Of course, I'd be 5,000 freaking pounds if I lived in the South, because I'd be, oh my God, is that food good? We went to Charleston, which is a gorgeous city. Went out on the water, saw dolphins, just great fun. If you ever want to go down there, it's just to the north, I guess technically be northeast of Savannah, Georgia, Hilton Head area, Beaufort. It's just a magnificent area. My trip exposed a ugly reality within corporate America that I have talked about numerous times on this air, and that is we have got corporations where clearly the main concern is the executives that run the company, not the company itself, not the customers or anything like that. I'll share my story. My gripe is with Delta Airlines, because I've had bad customer service, but I mean, it was horrific. And this is not the stewardesses. The stewardesses on the plane were delightful. They're very nice, very cordial. This has nothing to do with the stewardesses. This has everything to do with their phone system, their ticket counter, and their gate people, who are some of the rudest, meanest, most disrespectful human beings I have ever seen. And it really is awful, because I want you to put this in perspective for you. A flight to Atlanta, round trip, costs $250. It's cheap. I'm trying to give you $250. For many people, $250 is the discretionary income they have for the entire year. And you act as if me giving you that money for the ticket price that you yourself have established. The Delta established the cost of this flight. I get it. It's the cheapest seat that they have. That's fine. I'm not expecting a banquet. I'm not expecting a free deck of cards. I'm not expecting a tour with the pilots. I understand that. I'm not even expecting a bag of peanuts in this day and age. I'm just expecting at least some kind of common sense and decency to the whole thing. And the reality is that the level of disdain and disgust that Delta has with me and many other people as individuals who have purchased their cheapest ticket is unbelievable. It is just disgusting. Started off, we got our tickets. You know, once again, $250 each. So five of us to fly down to go visit my dad was $1,200. This is a lot of money for us. It's $1,200. Am I crazy? Is that a lot of, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for most people. It's a lot of money. And so, but yet it was important. We have other commitments coming up here with school and the kids. So we said, let's do this over President's Day weekend. We go down. We try to fly there. I went through most people do. I go through one of these online brokerages, Orbitz, Travelocity, you know, Trivago, whatever it is, you know. And we got our tickets. And I noticed, it's like, why did it not let me choose the seats? Usually they can choose the seats. So the next day, now, and the reason why is I've got a 10-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter. And I don't know if you saw the story from City Pages last week of the drunken first-class passenger who allegedly sexually assaulted another passenger on a flight, a Delta flight from San Francisco to Minneapolis. But, you know, hey, call me wacky crazy. I just don't want my 10-year-old daughter to sit between two level 3 sex offenders in the back of an airplane. Just call me wacky crazy, you know. Loon bin, I know. So I call Delta the next day, and I just started to say, well, I'm sorry. I wasn't able to get my seats, and I need to kind of get my seats. Here's my situation. I have a 10-year-old daughter, 13-year-old daughter, and I want to make sure they're not sitting by themselves. I mean, my 16-year-old son, he can sit by himself if worse comes to worse, and my wife and I can go, you know, as long as one of us is with the two girls, we're okay wherever you put us there, but we need to get the seats for this. Sure, sir, why don't you give me your credit card? Why do you need a credit card? Well, we're going to upgrade you to preferred class, which apparently is this new class of flyer. Preferred. We're going to upgrade you to preferred. It's $200 per ticket, but you get to pick your seats. No. No. I said, no, we're not going to upgrade my seats. It's already costing us $1,200, you callous jackass. You know, it's like, oh, just, you know, let's throw another $800 or $1,000 at you just because I want to pick what seats I'm in. Oh, come on. But I said, no, okay, I get it. But the problem is I got a 10-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter, and I want them sitting next to one of us. I want them both sitting, and we can just take three seats together, be on a plane. I don't want them sitting next to someone. And I actually said I don't want them potentially getting placed in a seat by themselves away from us as their parent next to someone who might be a sexual predator. And her response back to me is, well, if you'd prefer to not, if you want to make sure that that doesn't happen, well, then you need to make sure we upgrade your seats. Whoa, did you just tell me that if I don't want my 10 or 13-year-old daughter sexually assaulted on one of your planes, I need to pay for more seats? To which this woman, who was clearly being monitored by her boss, frantically says, I'm going to put you on hold. And like 2 seconds later, sir, this is the manager, this is Mary or whatever it was. I'm sorry, just want to let you know. No. By all means, here's what we want you to do is call back the day before the flight. That's when the seats get released. We will make sure you and your daughters have seats next to each other. By no means, your safety, your daughter's safety is our primary concern. We would not expect you to fly without your daughters sitting next to you. No problem. It means clearly that she'd realized this one person had gone over the edge. Call back day before the flight. Once again, same thing. Just like, you know, sir, God, if you'd only spend the money, then I wouldn't give you a lecture about giving to give you seats. I guess we'll make an exception. You guess? What would be your freaking liability on having young children not fly with their parents on flights? Dear Lord, you're doing me a favor? Sweet Lord, I'm doing you a favor. Then I get to, of course, the gate person. I get to the airport and, they're like, okay, you got to go talk to the gate person. So we'll go talk to the gate person. The gate person's like, I hate you. Oh, my God. All right. Just like, you're having a bad day. And I get it. You're dealing with customers. You're dealing with transportation. But you are in the airline industry. This should not be a surprise for you. And especially considering it was, four in the morning. Our flight was at 5:20. How is your day already that bad? How is your day already that bad? Ugh. So we get on the plane and get, and not much happens there. But then we come back and the same thing happens. I call up, have to call up the day before the flight. You know, I have to get this fixed, get the lecture. Sir, if you want to upgrade, you should upgrade next time or else we'll, might have to have your child dangling outside the plane on their flight. And just, that's on you, sir. That's on you because you poor bastard didn't pay the price for a decent ticket. This is on your head. How dare you get on our beautiful airplane and pay this kind of price? You are a disgusting father. Dear Lord, man. Give me the seats. I am doing you a favor. So I get to the airport again. Now, this time we're coming to Atlanta back to Minneapolis. Get to the airport. Same exact thing, just the runaround. Although, I guess the ticketing people were a little friendlier there. But the gate person does the weirdest thing. And what happened is we're leaving the gate. We scanned our tickets at the gate. We're in that little skyway that they take you to the plane on. All of a sudden, she comes running up from behind us. I swear to God, says this. And then runs and puts two tags on our bags and goes back. And I'm like, what was that? And the woman behind us says, well, you have to check your bag now. What? No, we're not checking your bag. These are carry-ons. And she had already scanned us. We were on the plane. She came running back because our seats showed that I guess we were the poors riding on the plane. They ran, oh, no, don't let them use carry-on luggage. So myself and my wife, I go back and someone's like, you heard what I said. No, I didn't because, normal humans use consonants. And she's like, well, you got to check the bag. Well, check it with the guy down the skyway. So I get down the skyway. There's no guy there. So I'm taking my bag on the plane. The stewardess, once again, very nice, comes up and said, well, sir, your bag needs to be checked. They're going to put it underneath. So I'm saying to myself, okay, this must be a situation where the entire flight is booked to the gills. Booked to the gills. I get on the plane, and as I sit down, all these overhead compartments are empty. There's no bags in them. There are no bags in the plane. Why did you make us check our bags when there is clearly plenty enough room in the plane for our bags? And it comes down to, I looked at my wife and we talked about it when we drove back from MSP back home. And I said, I honestly think Delta basically treats the people that buy their cheapest tickets as absolute crap. They treat you like trash. Under the argument is that 90% of them will never fly with us anyway. We just want to try to go on out there and we just want them to go on out there and we'll do is what we're going to do is eventually just basically 10% of them are going to pay that $200 extra per ticket on the next flight. We'll treat you horribly and then try to teach you a lesson that this next time you fly with us, you'd better pay the more money. It's disgusting. It was absolutely the worst customer service I've ever had, and it's a freaking bus in the sky now. It's all it is there used to be, I was telling my kids, we used to be a travel, it used to be exciting and stuff. Not anymore. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Take a break. When we come on back, Natalie, I'll get your call. Other calls as well. We got Jeff Stein coming up here. We're going to go extra with him with Billy Graham passing away. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The Blue State Ball is back. Hi, it's Mike McEntee. AM 950's annual get-together of like-minded progressives is March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. and I will be there and look forward to talking with you. But we've got much bigger stars on the program. The voices you hear here every day, Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, and of course, our own Matt McNeil. Plus, expect lots of big-name political guests and candidates. It's always a great time, and tickets are on sale now at am950radio.com. Come join us and celebrate the resistance and the excitement building towards the 2018 elections. General admission is just $35 and gets you in at 7 p.m. or come early at 5:30 p.m. with a VIP ticket for $100. Drop by and say hi to me, Matt, Norman, and Tom. The Blue State Ball is March 10th. Get tickets at am950radio.com and be part of the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I first fell in love with Toyotas when I got my RAV4. It was perfect. And now that it's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, you can fall in love yourself. Right now, Rudy Luther Toyota has 290 RAV4s in stock with 0% financing for 60 months or 0.9% financing for 72. The RAV4 is sharp with the safety features you need. It's perfect size for getting around town, and hands down, it's the best off-road vehicle I've ever driven. See for yourself during SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. What this does expose, I mean, think about this. You set a price for a product. You are a business. You set a price for a product. Someone says, okay, I'll pay that price for the product. And your entire goal is to basically treat that person as absolute crap while they utilize your product. What this shows me is it's a lot like the Wells Fargo disaster, where the executives, everything was about making the executives money. It wasn't about what's best for the business. It's not what's best for the customer. It's not what's best for the vendor. It's only what's best for the executive class. And clearly with this Delta thing, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you fly first class, I guarantee you they probably treat you like an angel. But I'm giving you $1,200 to fly. That's not chump change. What if this plane was like to crash? And I tell you the thing about it, it's like the entire flight back is like, this thing was to crash. God, how depressing would that be? This is the last human experience I had, was dealing with freaking Delta people. Oh, God. Natalie is in Hopkins. Welcome on in, Natalie.
Hi, Matthew. Hey, you got off lucky getting a ticket for your family for $1,200. I had to pay $844 for my son and I for two people. And they told me the same thing. In order for us to pick our seat, we had to pay extra money. So I did that. They oversold the flight and forced us to put our carry-on to check them in. And then when we got to the Atlanta, Georgia destination, both of our luggage were damaged.
Oh, well,
so that's Delta for you.
And thanks, Natalie. It's like, no, and by the way, at the baggage claim, there's like half the bags are coming off the baggage claim or open, broken, damaged. Nice job, Delta. No, I'm hammering on you guys. I have taken flights. I have taken cheap flights. I have taken cheap flights. I have never had an experience like this in my life. And this is not right. I mean, people, if you set a price for your product, you should at least have some pride in your product. as opposed to basically trying to alienate people. But maybe that's what Delta has really done, is they basically say most of the people in this country can't afford $1,200. So screw you. We're going to make your one flight experience with us miserable, just in case the next time you fly with us, you have learned your lesson. How dare you spend such a feeble amount of money with us for our product, which we set the price for? No, it's disgusting, and it's unacceptable. But this is going to be the next major war in this country, is the executive class of these companies, not all companies, not all of them by any means, but the executive class of these companies that are out there where it's the executives first. The banking industry is notorious for this. Clearly, the airline industry has been taken over by this. That we as customers are going to have to fight back and say, no, this is not acceptable. This is not good. And that's why I wanted to dedicate this. That's not acceptable. That's not good. Someone wants to give you $1,200. You shouldn't go out of your way to make them regret every damn cent of it. And it's undamn acceptable. What kind of business are you running over there? Oh, I know, for yourselves. That's the kind of business you're running over there. 952-946-6205. Let's get out early. Jeff Stein going to join us. We're going to talk a lot about what's been going on the last few days in national politics. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Senator Al Franken resigned after public pressure surrounding allegations of sexual misconduct. But was some of that public pressure brought to you by social media bots? Wednesday on the Mike McEntee Show, I speak with a reporter from Newsweek who has been investigating what happened to Franken and says an alt-right bot network based in Japan, of all places, played a role in stoking the anger against him. We get the full story from the investigation on Wednesday on the Mike McEntee Show, 4 to 5 p.m. on AM 950 Radio.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
The Nicolet Island Inn loves the romance of February. And to help you celebrate, they have special romantic events planned starting from the 18th to the 23rd, where you can celebrate Eat Week. Chef has prepared a three-course dinner at a price you will love. On February 23rd, the Cabaret Series proudly returns with Love Inspires, a dinner show of great performances of love songs. Do not miss this lineup of events. Space is limited. Check NicoletteIslandInn.com or open table for reservations and info.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show, I am very glad to see that guns and what we do about guns is at the top of the national agenda. Unfortunately, or fortunately, it's sharing the spotlight with Russiagate, which gets more interesting by the day. Do join me every weeknight from 5 to 8 on AM 950.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, sunny with a high near 21. Tonight, increasing clouds, low around 5 degrees. Thursday, chance of snow, cloudy with a high near 27. And Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 32. Moe's Tax Service has been working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. Located in Highland Park in St. Paul, one of the largest sites that electronically files taxes in the country. Call 612-721-2026 or visit Moe'sTax.com. That's Moe's, M-O-H-S, Tax.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is the restaurant of the week. Great happy hour Wednesday to Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. The Co-op Creamery builds on the relationships that Seward Co-op has cultivated for more than 40 years. Sunny's Ice Cream. Oh, they supply hand-dipped ice cream. You know you're in Minnesota if you like ice cream in winter. It's delicious. Open Sunday through Tuesday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday, Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's on East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. Find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, TotallyIowa.com, including his brand new book, The Floppy Show. You can also find his public service show, Iowa Watch, the exceptional public service show. That's iowawatch.org. And of course, he's joining us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex at KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, great to talk to you again. Welcome back.
Well, nice to be back. It is definitely a nice respite to go down there in the South. But, you know, as you know, when you go to the South, you go to the South.
The last time I was in Charleston, South Carolina was in the mid-90s. So this is before 9/11 mm-hmm. and before enhanced airport security. And you needed to show ID before you could get on the plane. And for whatever reason, we had passports because, again, when you're going from place to place, you know, you didn't want to Mickey Mouse around with a state driver's license. My wife and I each had passports. So I hand it to the guy at the counter in Charleston to get the flight back to Iowa. And he said, so you got a passport, you know, like one of them, their passport. And I said, yes. And he handed it back to me and said, you know, if we'd have won the war, you'd have needed a passport to get from here to Iowa. And I thought, at first he was kidding, right? You know, because, and I like a good joke. And so I started to kind of smile, and I realized he was quite serious. And at that point, the war of Northern aggression had been over for 130 years.
I got out to Sumter. I got news. Spoiler alert for the guy. We did win that. Although you're in the South. When we went out to Hunting Beach, which is in South Carolina, and it doesn't say illegal to feed alligators or alligators. It doesn't say alligators. It says gators. It doesn't say illegal. It says unlawful. You know, that's just it's unlawful to feed the gators. You know, it just is, it's like you're addressing Beauregard on the plantation. It's unlawful to feed the gator. It's not, hey, don't do this. Don't, you know, like a gator with its mouth open with like a hot dog going into it with a line through it saying, don't do this. No, it's unlawful to feed the gator. Just remember.
Did you run into Miss Scarlet while you were there?
A few of them. Hello there. Southern bells indeed. All right, I guess we'll start with the Billy Graham passing away. This morning. This is obviously his religious importance. This was not a Democratic or Republican person. He was someone that consoled numerous presidents over the years. I think a lot of the modern part of his ministry, especially the embracing of Trump, is coming from his family that's left behind. But at the same time, you can't deny the fact that this man, as a Christian leader, had an incredible following and incredible amount of influence, not just in the public realm, but in the political realm.
You have to understand that at the time Billy Graham came to prominence, this was where preachers, to use a phrase, not in a disparaging way, they'd go town to town and do tent shows.
Sunday kind of thing, yeah.
Sure. Well, Billy Graham was able to leverage into television, but then start, in essence, selling out major athletic stadiums night after night after night. So again, imagine going to Target Field to watch somebody stand at second base and talk to you for a couple of hours. Now, obviously, it was more than that, but the idea is that he came to prominence at a time where he could leverage the use of mass media. He was delivering a populist sort of message so that it was fire and brimstone, but it was also more approachable, if you will. And he was able then to leverage that into decades of prominence. Now, obviously, for the past 15 and 20 years, ill health, the older age. I mean, he passed away at age 90, for crying out
loud. 99. Yeah. Well, a nice run.
So it was not as prominent. But again, when you speak at, what was it, seven presidential inaugurations, that transcends, as you said, partisanship. And I think in a tweet today, I called him the preacher to presidents, and you're just not going to find someone else with that kind of a run ever again. There's just no
great point, by the way. That's one of the better points you've ever made, is that in our modern political age, especially how politics has become politicized, or as religion has become politicized, that you will not get this. And as a matter of fact, it's really interesting. Billy Graham's greatest achievement was, regardless of scandal within the White House, whether it was Iran-Contra, whether, it was, sexual indiscretions of Clinton, he stayed away from that because he knew that if he got into those waters, that he would be perceived as partisan. The ministry he's left behind is 100% wrapped around Trump. And as a matter of fact, it's undoing a lot of what Graham's long-term legacy has been, which was to elevate religion back above politics, that it wasn't a political thing, that it was a religious thing. And it is interesting because you're right. No one will ever fill those shoes in the modern age.
Well, and a lot of the Billy Graham ministry is separate from the Franklin Graham ministry with Samaritan's Purse. And obviously, Franklin Graham is the face of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and is much more partisan and political. But I think there's still a large part of the Billy Graham legacy, certainly legacy, if not the more present day ministry, that is still on an island, still siloed away. But now that he's gone, again, there's nothing to stop those who come after, including Franklin Graham, from pushing a political agenda because, again, and I suppose you could say, well, the times are different. Well, that's true, but it would really be nice to be able to rely on a person of faith and not have to worry about their political motivations. And Billy Graham was that person in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, into the 90s.
Yeah.
You're not going to have that, because even when you think of people who are not overtly partisan, and for lack of a better example, I'll give you Joel Osteen. You don't look at him and say political unless you say Green Party, because green is the color of money. And see, there's always these other motivations. You didn't see the motivations with Billy Graham beyond simply the message. So many of these other folks, it's either political or it's economic, or it's all about themselves. And that just wasn't the case with the Reverend Graham.
Well, and it's interesting because, and by the way, Jeff and I are not here endorsing one religion over any other religion by any means. But what is interesting is the modern version of the evangelical Christians are kind of being destroyed from within, because I know people who are evangelical Christian who are like, okay, it was a reach to give Trump the mulligan when it came to the Access Hollywood tape. Then comes the accusations of sexual harassment. Then comes now the porn star. Now we've got a Playboy bunny. It keeps going on and on and on. And when the leaders of the church are saying, you need to give him his 17th mulligan because that's what Jesus would do, and yet then still can't help themselves but, pick on the smallest thing with Obama, the smallest thing with Clinton, or the bigger things with Clinton, I should say. One of the things I think which is interesting is that it's undermining their own base from within, because it's more important their political standing than the message. And that is the real big difference between what Graham was for and what the modern people that are trying to fill his shoes are doing right now.
No, and you're right. I'm not here to endorse his faith, his brand of faith, or any faith. I mean, if you are an atheist, that is permissible and welcome in our society. And that, I think, was part of the Billy Graham message, which was, listen to me, don't listen to me. It's okay. This one's up to you. I'm here if you want to have, if you want to be saved, I'm here to help save you. But I'm not going to look down on those who don't. And from the political standpoint, and again, this is where you start getting into, and it's a whole different level, but Pat Robertson, who was always political,
yes.
Okay? Well, and the thing that you mentioned about the current evangelical, the religious right, I mean, phrase it however you will, from a political standpoint, they picked Trump as opposed to Hillary Clinton. I am not convinced that they would pick Trump over, for example, Mike Pence. Trump over, pick another dozen people. But the problem is, when you pick Trump over Hillary Clinton in 2016, you have to answer for it in 2018. And the question is going to be, how strongly do they support him come 2020? But again, that's, so far down the line, who knows if the man will even run again. He may just declare victory and then not run again.
And that would probably fall right into his pattern.
But that's it, right? I mean, if people went by and would say, Mr. President, you're not going to win re-election. Your approval rating is, you know, in single digits. And for the good of the country, the good of the party, you need to step aside. That's not going to appeal to him. He's going to say, I've accomplished everything I intended to, and so I'm leaving the country better than I found it. And that's the only way you're going to get him to not run for re-election.
There's a lot of people that are running for re-election in 2018 that have got a new problem as far as an issue on the table, and it's namely the people that have been cozying up to the NRA. This last shooting in Florida last week, the continued promises of the NRA and the gun industry that more guns will make us safer is undeniably. Is undeniably falling apart. We are less and less safe. Kids are getting gunned down in schools. And in this case, in Parkland in Florida, you have now kids themselves who have looked around, have seen the adults are not doing anything, have watched their own classmates get gunned down, now becoming a very vocal and active voice. You are also seeing, and I think this guy, a congressman out of Rhode Island, was the first one to say, proudly, I've got an F rating from the NRA, which is, I'm pretty sure, is not what the NRA intended when they put out their rating system, is that people would be campaigning with their F ratings. But at the same time, this is when you have an issue. When Orlando's shooting happened, it was 88% of the country wanted common sense gun regulations. Now it's 97% of the country wants common sense gun regulations. The people that keep defending the NRA and this guns everywhere mentality are on the downside. The gun issue is now going to become a major issue one way or the other in the election of 2018.
It is, but it needs to be part of something broader. And this is something that I've said now for a week in multiple opportunities, where I hear people say, because they've had enough of people being gunned down in schools. And so they say, we have to do something. And I don't think that's true. We have to do multiple somethings. You cannot simply do one of these things that's being mentioned and then say, there, everything is taken care of. And that's my great fear, that if you start restricting guns, and that's fine, go restrict the guns, but that's not going to fix this problem altogether. Now, does it make it harder for someone with an evil intent to kill people because the gun is not as readily available? Okay, but they're still out there and they may need mental health, mental health treatment. So the idea, what I'm saying is, we need to just put all the rest of this aside and say there are multiple things that have to be done, and they have to be done concurrently and part of a concentrated strategy. And yes, you have to start somewhere, but the first somewhere is to recognize that simply doing any one of these things that I keep hearing people talk about isn't going to solve the problem. And it is one of these things that it should transcend partisanship. It should transcend demographics. I've watched some of these discussions on MSNBC and Fox News both, and I use those as the polar opposites. And the people who come on are using numbers to make their own points, and that's fine. But facts are facts, numbers are numbers. And if we could, and I don't know how you do it, Matt, I really don't. But if you could just drop all of the partisan pretense and just get to an actual conversation about preserving what is good about America, namely its young people. Okay, then maybe we have a chance.
Well, let me step in there, because I think you stumbled onto something. I think you stumbled onto something there, which I think is an important element. Mm-hmm. Okay, these grieving children, this gun epidemic in our country, that's the important issue. But I want to just look at the myopic, the vision of what happened in Florida when these children are in the stands, and it wasn't just, it wasn't the fact that the assault weapon ban in Florida failed. It's the fact that politicians, and not just Republicans, mostly Republicans, but some other Democrats too, frantically ran to the front to try to be the first person to vote against it. And then those children, you're right, numbers aside, facts aside, children who have watched in less than a week their own classmates get gunned down, saying, this is on your heads when the next slaughter happens. There is no, they're trying to attack these kids. They're trying to attack these families. It's god-awful, way off base. But it, at the same time, that's exactly what it is that you don't see the grieving. You don't want to see the grieving. You don't want to see the child there. And you running up there to get your big campaign donation from the NRA, it shows you how badly this is being handled by people, that there is no, it's the giddiness and gleefulness that they jumped to vote for the NRA's position really looked bad yesterday. And this is something which, once you get away from those facts, as you mentioned, that this is where this argument is going, is that people have just said, enough's enough. I don't care about numbers and stats. These guns do not have a place in our society.
Well, but it's broader than that, because I think there are people on the opposite side of the issue who are taking these grieving children and turning them into political pawns. The children have something to say. Absolutely. They need to be heard. But I think opportunism on this is broader than just the NRA with suitcases full of cash, which is a bad thing and a whole different issue. No question about that. But I'm really tired of opportunists on each side, because you're talking about kids who have not yet attended all the funerals of their classmates. And that is, and let's be very clear, this is not me saying, well, this isn't the time to talk about it. No. This is the time to talk about it. It is the time to hear from these kids. But I think sometimes people who are so passionate about issues often lose sight of the impact of some of their actions.
But if I can step in here and on one side, you have dead kids. On the other side, you have an industry lobbying group, which is basically saying, ignore the dead kids. Here's a campaign donation. Those are real. Those are the two real elements of this right now. And clearly, the NRA is throwing a hell of a lot of money at the Republicans primarily, but some Democrats, to basically not do anything. Just do thoughts and prayers this thing until the news cycle dies down. And I understand what you're saying about this, but the question is it really opportunism, or is it just basically people are disturbed to see children so visibly upset about grieving for their kids, and there's no other way around it? The fact that these guns are so prevalent, and this guy bought this gun legally, and there is nothing anyone could do to stop it, that is where the shame is lying, and that's where the frustration is coming in, is that there's truly people that are feeling a lot of shame that this is where we're at as a society.
Well, but when I was talking a bit ago about people misusing numbers, there was someone in particular who was a New York City council member running for lieutenant governor who was running stats last night on TV and conflating gun violence, gun deaths from the hands of others, and conflating them with suicide. Now, those are separate issues. And when called on it, he said, well, yeah, of course, most of what I'm talking about is suicide, but that's not the point. Well, it kind of is the point, because what you've just done is undermine your position by not being straightforward. And this is the problem that I see, that in our effort today to outshout other people, we do it with pockets full of money, because money is a protected form of speech, according to the Supreme Court. And as a lawyer, I have a real hard time with that decision, but let's just go with it. But on the other side, if I can't trust either side to give me straightforward information, then we've got a problem. And I would love to see people on either side of the aisle, and I say both sides, but start somewhere, to say, we need to set up a conversation about how to prevent this kind of carnage from happening. Disturbed people need help, and people don't need access to weapons that don't have a valid purpose in society. Let's agree on both of those points and try to fix the situation. Right now, everybody's looking at it as a zero-sum game.
Well,
looking at it as, it's like we either have to get rid of guns or we have to not do a thing about guns. I found out fascinating yesterday that the president said, we need to get rid of bump stocks. Now, why that wasn't done sooner, I don't know. It has nothing to do with Florida, but at the very least, there's some movement. Now, how long is it going to take for that memo to turn into action? Who knows? But that's the thing. Things need to be done. And I don't know. I just get this sense that there's disingenuousness that is getting in the way of the people who truly have something to say. And that includes children. And I don't like the people on the right demonizing children. I don't like the people on the left taking advantage of children. I mean, it's just wrong in every respect. And I say this as somebody who doesn't have children. I can only imagine how you feel when you know, kiss your precious cargo goodbye in the morning.
This is not sitting well with me. We got to take a break. Yeah, we are really running late right now. I will say this, regardless if it's a suicide, a police shooting, or it's a mass shooting in a school, a church, office building, or the Las Vegas Strip, guns are the most lethal way to kill people in this country that's readily available and legal. Absolutely. Jeff Stein joining us right now. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Your home stinks. What, you didn't notice? Odds are you're immune to the smells in your home, but the stink is definitely there. That means it's time to bring out the pros from Zero Res to clean out the dust mites, dander, and bacteria festering in your carpet. This month, you can get three-room Zero Res clean starting at only $119. Plus, this month, you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry, where the fear-free gets you out of pain now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. It's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota. The Highlander is an amazing vehicle. Features an available direct-injected 3.5-liter V6 engine, a bold look, space for up to 8.5 USB ports, and tons of cargo space. Rudy Luther Toyota currently has 140 2018 Highlanders in stock with financing as low as 0.9% for 60 months, plus the great Rudy Luther service I love. Stop by for SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that Better Energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Jeff Stein joining us here. Jeff, you had a final point you wanted to make about the NRA's discussion we had.
Well, just before the break, you said that guns are the easiest, best way to
kill,
take care of people, to kill. And my only statement is, for those who don't believe that, why is it every member of the military is immediately issued a weapon? Because what is the purpose of the military to a large degree? It is to preserve the safety of Americans. It is to go out and kill the other side. So we give you a gun. So that kind of makes the point, does it not? That is the most efficient way to kill. And so you want to make sure the right people have it.
And with the training and the background checks that the military puts forward, I think that'd be a great first step, an absolutely great first step. Last time we talked here, the Mueller probe has come back with a whole cavalcade of things. Gates is flipping on Manafort. You've got Russians now being indicted on a large scale here. This is starting to show the broadness of this in full investigation. Not only that, but Jared Kushner is now getting investigated by the IRS for his connections. You have Trump Jr. making bonehead long-headed comments about it, about, you know, property in India. You know, there is a very large problem here that's we're starting to see the form. It's this large bubble, and Mueller is starting to, we're not seeing exactly what it is, but we're starting to see this is a pretty large shape that's starting to form.
It's really interesting because we still don't know enough to know where this is going. And I say that, Matt, to get to this point. In no way totally exonerates the president, as he claims. It also in no way suggests that they are about to lead him out of the White House in handcuffs, as some others have suggested. This, again, is part of an ongoing peel the layers back each time sort of thing. It is very clear when you start charging Russians for attempting to meddle, there was some meddling that was going on. It's incontrovertible. The only discussion point now is what impact did it have? Well, I don't think that really is the important point at this juncture. The important point is to find out what meddling was done, who attempted to do it, who had conscious knowledge of trying to foster it in a way that is beyond simple intel or oppo research. When you start looking at some of the flipping, though, I'm waiting to see what happens with Manafort. I think the first flip is what led to the lawyer now pleading guilty, because what did we learn in Watergate? It's always the cover up. That is at least as bad as the crime. But you're going to see some of this stuff happen. It's just too soon to make declarative judgments on either side, but it is very clear. And the White House, with its budget, even pointed it out. They need to fund this for another year. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not going away anytime soon. And I'll tell you this, Mueller is not going to release a final report before the November general election, because it would be politicized. Anytime after Labor Day, if he releases something, it is going to be dismissed or embraced, but dismissed as being politically motivated, and that is going to undermine the impact of any of it. Now, if he has, you know, charges to file, you bet. It's just staggering to me that people are willing to say, well, there, this proves this or that. It proves that there's a lot that needs to be unraveled, and it's going to take a long time.
I think Mueller doesn't care. I think he will indict people during the campaign season, especially in September, October. One final question.
Indict is different than a final report that says, I'm now done with everything. No, if there are charges, they're getting filed. You're right.
One final question. Trump might not ever see jail or get thrown out of office, but isn't it a fair statement to say that everyone that surrounds him, including his family, at the end of all of this are likely going to be destroyed, that he might get away with this, but his family, his kids, his marriage, all the people that propped him up, Pence, Kelly, no one is going to be safe from this, because when the fallout does happen, someone's going to have a whole bunch of mess on their hands.
I'm not sure I'd go quite as far, but your basic point is well taken. In other words, when Trump has plausible deniability because others have propped him up or not said anything or kept information from him, you know, again, it's protecting the boss. Don't tell him, because then it's not on his hands. It's on somebody's hands. And so, yes, he may be the one who leaves office, however he leaves office, gets on a jet, goes to an island he owns, and everybody else is serving time in the Gray Bar Hotel.
Or at least they've lost, like Kushner and Ivanka, they might just lose every bit of money they have because they're going to be tied up in IRS court for the rest of their lives. And I think that there's a real likelihood, especially his family, they could end up losing everything financially. But we'll have to wait to see on that one. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. Jeff, thank you very much. I do appreciate the time today.
Don't take vacation again. You miss too much.
I do miss too much, man. and I do try to turn it off, too, at the same time. Thank you very much for being here. Remember, get your Blue State Ball tickets. Go to am950radio.com. Get your tickets. Join us March 10th at the Blaisdell for the Blue State Ball. Mike McEntee is up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.